sessions this week of Israel's Possessive God, Lord Jesus. The establishment of his kingdom, the earth that he has made. He was Lord. He is Lord. And is this world to be the one here where he will not prevail? Now we believe in Jesus Christ and of his reign through Israel over mankind. We believe in the being and character of God. Isaiah's words are so pertinent to Israel. In defeat of the people of the day, the defeatation was because of the defeat of that nation's gods. When it was thought that Jehovah had been by the gods of the heathen, says to his people, even in those, I have purposed it, and I will do it. I am God, there is none else. The beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God's purposes for the world through Israel up with his armament. Behind her, and there are no people with so remarkable a stands the sword who is Lord of the ages. From his unalterable covenant. That's the guarantee of the future. Now, without an understanding of the purposes of God for the people, we cannot really understand, and certainly not the whole Lord. Just think for a moment, first of all, of the call of the chosen people. Hebrews 11, verse 12, tang, from one who was as good as, but for God's remarkable intercourse of life, there would have been no day. And though it's a matter, I wouldn't be speaking to you either. The 18th chapter of Genesis, particularly verses 9, the story of the birth of Isaac. He was 99 years old and whose wife was 90. To whom, but for the intervention of God, possible. It's a most interesting story, repeating the promise to Abraham outside the tent. Outside the tent, hearing what was said, you ladies, do you ever hear in the kitchen lounge? And it seemed to her so impossible. Isaac was born. She laughed in another, called him Isaac. Laughter. For of rejoicing, not of incredulity. Israel's history began play of the power of Almighty. And her history continually evidenced. From age to age, redeemed the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage aside. He gave in a land of her own, and by her own prowess, that was impossible. At no Israel worthy of his goodness than you or I. A day came into peril through her disobedience and failure. Repeatedly restored her. Our theology of revival, the fact that we have a God people according to his unchanging purpose, selves. The Babylonian captivity presents looking at C in Israel's constant failure, but looking at Israel's in God's undefeated grace, what he is. Now, is all this to end in nothing? Is God's grace to covenant wholly a thing of the past, in that it is impossible to read the Word Testament believing that? Israel's past history has the indubitable hand of God is the guarantee that there's... Now, this is rooted in God's covenant. The second verse declares, I will never break. There are two options in what Dr. Norman Snaith has called ideas of the Old Testament. The word brit. The other is the brit is chesed is an. Over and over again, God's are expressed in these terms. Almighty God, purpose from which it is impossible that he should. He's bound. He's taken upon himself the obligation, people of the covenant, what he has declared. Being love, his chesed, translated loving kindness. His chesed is that an extraordinary person in continuing to love when in spite of her, in to use the words of Norman Snaith. We often speak of Israel as the indestructible nation, as our history constantly demonstrates. But her survival is not on he is, but on account of what he is. A Jew is no better than anybody else. Hey, the Jew is just the same as anyone else, only Israel's God. Him. And it is, and what he pledges to do, guarantee of Israel's survival and continuance. The guarantee of the covenant is the faithful God. But this calls for of obedience and trust. Genesis 18, verse 19, together. God's purpose, unilaterally declared, and man's obedience and response. God says of Abraham faithful, Abraham shall a great and mighty nation. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Here is the declaration of God's answer. It's sure. It is immutable. Be. It must be because God is God. Abraham shall become a nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in. But look at the other side of the coin. God says, for I know that he will command his children after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, may bring upon Abraham broken of him. But it is reach, man's obedience and response, that he bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. For us to define God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, both biblical doctrines. It was said or not, many things are said of these great men, but it was said that he would preach sovereignty and responsibility to reconcile them. Both are in, and it becomes us to confess that our logic isn't to contain the transcendent. Oh, what a lot of polemic aired if we would only take a humble position. God is sovereign, shall become a great and mighty nation, and is responsible. Children, that they will keep the ways of the Lord, that the Lord made Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Israel's centuries long history has therefore been the recurring cycle of failure and blessing, apostasy and... That's been the history of the Christian. Although the Lord in his mercy would bring us again to... It's the history of Israel. When she failed and became apostate, joy the good of the covenant. Went up out of Egypt, over 20 years of perished in the wilderness. They could not enter in because of unbelief. But their children did. Purpose goes on. And Israel failed to edge of the covenant. The dead. Says H.H. Rowley, sighed. God pledged never to repudiate the bond love had forged of the covenant. And that's why we believe that a purpose for his covenant people, Christ returns. And when he reigns. Now the covenant found a wonderful event, the epoch-making event of the incarnation. And the Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all God. At his atoning work fulfilled the law and the prophets. And brought in the new covenant in his blood. And Sam has come upon the Gentiles by faith. And of believing Abraham, for we do what he laid hold of the promise by faith. And that's what we, Lord Jesus Christ, we laid hold of promise. And how round about us, however may be called to pass through tribulation or face temptation, we may look into the bankruptcy of our own. That's where our anchor rests. It rests in. Why do you believe that you're eternally saved? Because of the covenant, you have been brought into the blessing Abraham. And in the Savior's blood. Oh, how we can thank God for that. What the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 3, verses 7. This is what he tells the Ephesians in 16. That he has made of the two and Gentiles one new body, reconciling them first to God and then to each other in his church. Now, there are very few this morning who have the honor and privilege to have descended from Israel. You can't help that. Family, there were five of us. My word, if you had all been in Italy. I thank God more that I come from a family, from a Jew who believed in Jew Israel. Now, you have. First, we are one. Christ, now, Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, bond nor free, in Christ Jesus. To say, therefore, that God's covenant for Israel as distinct from the nations have been cancelled. Our unity hasn't taken away. It's as absurd either Jew nor Gentile in God's world today, as it would be absurd to say there's neither male nor world today. Like all the husbands here, I have very good grounds for thanking God the world today is still male and female. I would iron my shirts if it wasn't that. You see? Christ! Before God, we're one body. But it hasn't cancelled. A Jew is still a Jew. Israel is still Israel. Still a Gentile. Don't listen to not pitying you. A Gentile is still a Gentile. A man is still a man and a woman is still a woman. God for his people Israel has not been neglected by the enlargement of the covenant. Gentiles have been brought into the blessing of Abraham. The day must come because he's never retracted his promise. Israel will be brought into faith in the Messiah. He will reign over her as king. The Old Testament prophecies can have no other meaning. We're sometimes called literalists. We are, because that's common sense. When God says that he will gather his people back into the land that he gave to their fathers, he will give them a new heart and a new spirit, there they will serve him. He, what he says. Right to take the plain scripture and twist them to our theology, our misconceived theology, eschatology. Are dozens of passages in the Old Testament, about the Old Testament this morning, we'll come to the New tomorrow, there are dozens of testaments of which we are bound to say that if been what they say then, future for the people of Israel at the return. Zion is Zion. Jerusalem is Jerusalem. Israel is Israel. To make these terms mean something the authors did not mean and the people understood. Those nothing of a new is based. The old covenant. Its perfect ceremonial law has passed away. Why? Because it was fulfilled, completed by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is perfectly true that we are in the era and that there was an epoch-making change by the work of the Lord Jesus, the Ghost. Promises simply mean that these blessings are for national Israel. and not cast away his people whom he formed.
At this point, please turn your tape.
Where in the New Testament, where the church is called the New Israel, it's simply not there. You won't find anywhere in the New called Israel. Even in the last chapter of the Epistle to the Galatians, have we to say that the Israel of God, Paul uses, peace be upon the Israel of God, what mean the church? And not national Israel. It's simply something that we've added. That's just an interpretation. The church is called Israel. The church has been brought into Israel blessings, but not to replace her. Let me think with you for a moment of two particularly to mind in this connection. Speaks to us in the second book of Samuel, the 15th verse, of a day that will never be superseded. You remember how David wanted to build the temple, how it was the wish of his heart, in making Jerusalem the capital of the 12 tribes. Of the temple, how it had been revealed that that was the place Israel's God had chosen to put his name there. But it wasn't given to David to build the temple. He had been a man of war. He had chosen to build the temple. Chapter 7, the promise is made to David, him a dynasty that would never pass away. I will set up thy seed after thee, and love, my hesed, depart away from him. Thy house and thy throne shall be established forever. And on it to David that his dynasty pass away, my mercy, my hesed, not depart from him. I'll never do to you what I to take away the kingdom. And it's a significant question. And in spite of it, only David ever sat upon David's throne. Northern kingdom after the disruption, I think there were 9 that reigned, one after another. Palace Revolution, another family came onto the 2 centuries in which there were different dynasties there in the north and a few miles there in Judah. How many dynasties of Judah? 1 only. Even though there was a time when the life of a little child, 2 weeks old, hid by her aunt. You know the story. God kept his promise. Now, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 1st chapter and the 32nd verse. Congregation, this is what Gabriel says to Mary. In thy womb and bring forth a son. Great. That's a text for you, isn't it? And the Lord God shall give unto his father David, and he shall reign the house of Jacob forever, and there shall be no end. Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, he Jacob. Now tell me. Jesus of Nazareth sat on the throne of David. And when? Should be so, but it is. When has he over Jacob, let alone the whole earth? David's throne is David's throne. Our Lord is the heir to the throne of David. And he's coming again. On the throne of David, he will my people, the house of Jacob. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. We think, we say, well, of course, he's on the throne. Thank you. He's on the right hand of the Father Almighty. But I almost said, what on earth is David's throne down here? In your heart. The throne of David, is that ruling over the house of Jacob? Now, you're dear people, but you wouldn't feel complimented if people knew Jews, would you? Would you? Don't think so. Are you the house of Jacob? No. If Scripture says Jesus was born, the Davidic promises to sit upon the lid, to rule over the house of Jacob, a kingdom that would be worldwide. I do not believe in that sort of interpretation which robs the promise of their real significance. Because we're evangelicals, and accept the inerrancy of, and then we can interpret it in opposed to its obvious statements. And alas, those of us who think otherwise, a voice crying in the wilderness. But let me say one other thing. The lines of the Old Testament lead us to believe that Jesus must come again on earth, what he did not do at his first advent, sit upon the throne of David and up in a kingdom that has no end. But the other thing with which we will close, a sample of the in the Old Testament which can only mean restoration of national Israel. People today say God has finished with Israel nationally. God has no further purpose. Thank God they can. But there's Israel. Dear people, that's utterly contrary teaching of Holy Scripture. Moment. Look at Hosea chapter 3. The children of Israel will abide many days a king and without a prince, without an image. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, their king, and shall fear his goodness in the latter days. Though Israel was no longer God's special pity, though God's truly not my people, the time is coming when God will call her pitied, and when God will call her people. And he explains what he means in this verse. Israel abides many days. She has a history which goes on from the to the present time for 2 years. You know, that's a long time. 66 was a long time ago. Yes. 2,000, nearly 500. Israel shall abide many. And she's without the true and without the false king and without a human prince. sacrifice without teraphim and without the false. It was down through the centuries, ever since the Babylonian Empire had no king. They've had no idol. They've had no sacrifice. All this is just as the prophet. Here is a people who still, after the passage of 2,500 years, says, Israel shall abide many days. Faith, but without the true. End afterwards. Shall the children return? Return to their promised land. Return to their God-given heritage. Afterwards shall they return. Seek the Lord their God and gain whom I will raise up unto them. Who's this? Oh, dear people, David is a messianic title. It's one of the titles of Jesus Christ, David's greatest son. Here's the promise that Israel will abide God. And it's not merely territory. It's a wonderful thing that they've returned to the territory. Jewish people in this very land today. They've come from all over the world. They've returned, promised them. But it's not merely visaged here. They shall sword their God. Israel's a secular state. Only 15% of Israelis keep their own religion. A secular state is they shall seek Jehovah to do it through whom? Their king, the Messiah. Their son, our Lord Jesus. Whom is up unto them. How you're going to exegete that and still deny no future for the covenant people, I simply don't know. Well, look at Zechariah, will you? And here's the promise. I will bring them again, for I have mercy on them. And they shall be as though I had. Now, what has this to do with God? What has this to do with the church? I again and place them. Mercy upon them. Will they be restored that they shall be as I cast them off? And if that does restoration of Israel under the Messiah, I don't know. I'm at a loss to put any other meaning to it. Or look, and with this we must close this morning. Zechariah, look at verse 7 and 8. I will save my people from the east country. Now, there weren't any of God's when Zechariah said that. What did he mean? The bulk of the Jews were in the east, in the Babylonia. I will people from the east and from that's where the majority of the Jews are now. And I will bring them. I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem and my people. And I will in truth and righteousness. How are we going to understand a statement like that? Simple terms. God pledges he will bring back his people. They will dwell. Jerusalem will be his people. Be their God in truth and righteousness. And if this doesn't promise the national to the land of Canaan, spiritual rebirth has no meaning at all. People, if God could break his covenant with Israel, what right to break his covenant with us. Then we reject the plain statement. We impugn the God. For it is his. And it's not our business to mean something else.